We're getting done with our study on the Lord's Prayer. And we started and ended at the same place. The Lord's Prayer starts with praise, and then it ends with praise. And I think I'm in a bad place. And it's amazing how the children actually pay attention to the songs that we sing on Sunday mornings, because we go back there and we talk about the songs sometimes, and they actually have questions. They sing it, and sometimes they're not quite certain what it means, and so they ask questions. But teaching us all to praise the Lord is that's an ongoing job, and I love the praise music we sing here. All right, we're not going to be in the book of Revelation tonight. I'm going to leave that to the preacher, and he's then worked out. We'll refer to some things that are in the book of Revelation, but I'm going to just leave that for him. And I gave my wife permission to raise her hand. I'm looking right now. 13, what's 20 minutes from 13? Well, whatever. I told her she can raise her hand in 20 minutes, and that'll let me know, because I don't usually go past 25 minutes. And the only thing I ask is this, don't worry the preacher, because I know he goes 45, 50 minutes, and there have been people say, well, Rick, he only spoke 25 minutes. You think you could let us go quicker? But that's all I do is 20 to 25 minutes, and so if you'll give me your undivided attention for that length of time, I'll be done. Walt Shepard was driving his sports car, a Sunbeam, and he was on Interstate 10 north of New Orleans. And he had gotten into this bad place like a lot of folks had. His fiance had broken up with him, so he decided he was going to kill himself. So there he was on I-10, and he started driving at a high rate of speed. And up ahead, he saw a car parked beside the road, and he made the decision, now is when I do it. And so at this high rate of speed, he just drove off the interstate and rear-ended that car. And it was, as soon as he hit it, several things happened. One, his car busted into flames. And when the impact of his hood hit the back of that car, his hood crumpled on impact. He went through the windshield, and as he went through the windshield and it crumpled, the hood wrapped up around him. So he's wrapped in this bent up hood, and his car is on fire. And it was right across the road from a motel. And as soon as people heard the noise, they looked and they saw these two vehicles there, and his car, the Sunbeam's on fire. And they called for the ambulance, but, you know, seconds is all it takes when you got something like that going on. And people ran over there from the motel, and they wanted to try and get him out of this car, but the heat was just too hot. And nobody could get near it, and it's minutes until the ambulance gets there. And two big guys came out, and they just went up to the car, and they unwrapped the hood, and they pulled him out of it, took him to people who started to see about him, and they turned around to thank these people, and they were just gone. And everybody knew that it was angels. They didn't come looking like angels. They looked like a couple of big guys, but they could all tell something happened here tonight. Now, Walt didn't see it because he was unconscious. They pulled him out, and later his dad told him, Walt, I think the Lord sent angels to save your life, to give you another opportunity at salvation. And Mr. Shepherd agreed. Walt agreed, and he got saved after that. Angels. There's lots of studies done about the fallen angels. Boy, and Hollywood loves a good movie about demons. There's lots of studies done about the Holy Spirit. all of these things are true if told the way the Bible tells it. But I want to just talk a couple of minutes about our allies, angels, the ones who are obedient to God. I've got a book in my library that Billy Graham wrote called Angels, God's Secret Agents. And I've got another one from David Jeremiah, Angels, Who They Are, How They Help. I'm genuinely not mad at the scientists who don't believe in anything spiritual. I do feel sorry for them because they think all there is what you can sense. They believe the only way it's real is if you can take a tape measure and measure it. If you can put it on scales and weigh it. If you can see it and repeat it as an experiment, and if you can sense it, if you can touch it, if you can smell it, they say that's real. But what's spiritual, they say they can't, they don't believe it because there's no way they can get a hold of it through their senses. And I'm not mad at them, but I do feel sorry for them because there's a whole spiritual realm. Some of them are our enemies. Some of them are our allies. And the angels. I was hoping Landon would be here, but he's not. But Hunter knows the answer. Everybody in Children's Church knows what the word angel means. Would you tell them what it means?
Messenger.
I was trying to lean close enough where you could hear him through the microphone. But angel means messenger. That's their big job, is they're sent from God with a message for us. Daniel said he saw a vision of a great war. This war in this vision, he said it was so terrible. He mourned and wept and prayed for 21 days. Now, keep the number 21 in mind. He said, I ate no choice food. He said, I ate no meat and I only drank water. And the most of his time was spent praying because this image of the war that he saw was so, war is not good anyway, but it was so terrible. He said, after 21 days, he was out with a group of men and they were walking. And he said, they didn't see what I saw. But God still sent a great fear on all these men who were in my group. He said, and they all ran and hid. And I was left alone, standing looking at this great imposing figure. Angels are not who we think they are. We've been told they are. They are not pretty blonde girls that you'd want to ask out on a date. They're mighty warriors. And Daniel said, when I saw this angel, his face looked like lightning. His eyes were fire. And when he spoke, he sounded like a whole group of people. He sounded like a multitude of people speaking. And the thing that I always laugh at, because I know it's coming, everywhere in the Bible, except one occasion, everywhere in the Bible, an angel appears. The first thing they do is they get scared. There's a reason angels always tell folks at the outset when you see their encounter, they say, don't be afraid or fear not, because they are afraid. And this mighty, imposing angel, Daniel put it lightly. He said it kindly. He said, I fell down with my face to the ground and went into a deep sleep. I think that was what his way of saying, I passed out. And he said, I felt a hand grab me and pull me up to where I had my knees and palms on the floor, on the ground. And he said, the angel came and talked to me and said, Daniel, I've come to answer your prayer. He thinks he's about to die. That's what they always think when they see an angel, is they're about to get killed. And he said, when you first started praying, I was sent with the answer. That was 21 days earlier. He had started praying, and this angel flew and probably would have been there that day. Now, we say we flew. We rode our bike fast. We drove the car fast. Somebody ran fast. They flew, but this angel flew with the answer. But the angel said, I'm late getting here. As soon as I reached Persia, and that's where Daniel was in the Medo-Persian Empire. As soon as I got to Persia, the prince of Persia, not only are there angels who work for our defense, but there's fallen angels. And he said this fallen angel that was over Persia saw me coming with the answer and flew out to fight me. And he said, for 21 days we fought. I could not beat him. For 21 days it was hand to hand. We struggled. He could not beat me. It was a dead even match. And so I struggled for 21 days. And he said, the angel Michael came to my rescue. And between the two of us, we fought off this demon. I got free, and I'm here to tell you about the vision you saw of the coming war. And that's one for the preacher, because when you read it, you can tell he saw the Battle of Armageddon. So Isaiah saw, in particular, they were seraphs in the temple, and it was the same story with him. Soon as he saw these angels flying and the smoke and the glory of God, he said, I'm dead. He was just certain he was going to get killed. Great, mighty, imposing figures. And when they came to Walt Shepherd's rescue, they didn't come as they really are. And Scripture says they take on the appearance of flesh sometimes. And you read this story, it's a really long story, about how they came to Abraham and he fed them. And after he fed them and they went on, they ended up in Gomorrah. And you find out later, that was angels. Looked like a couple of guys, but they were angels and they went there. And you remember Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. We don't see angels in their greatness unless they need to be seen. Now, we think we'd like to see an angel. They are so powerful and beyond anything you and I are that if we saw them, we would probably, first of all, we'd be scared to death. And then in Colossians, talks about people who worship angels. And I used to think it to be far-fetched that somebody would want to fall down and worship an angel. But I read in Revelation, John is seeing all these visions of things to come. Not once, twice. In chapter 19 and then in chapter, I think it's 21, two different occasions an angel appeared to him. And this is John, the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the youngest out of the bunch. He was the one that leaned against Christ at the Last Supper. He's the one on the island of Patmos. All the others had died except him. He lived to be the oldest. He knew Jesus was the Son of God twice. He said, an angel appeared before him, and he said, I fell down to worship the angel. Both times, he said, the angel picked me up and told him, I'm a fellow servant of God, just like you. Don't do this. The second angel went further and said, he said, I'm a fellow servant. Don't worship me, worship God. So Angels are not seen unless we need for them, unless God says we need to see them. Otherwise, we don't. And sometimes we tend to discount them and not think about them. But there is a war that goes on. Now, back in the day, and I'm probably sure it goes on in other countries, but just talking about in our early pioneer days, back in the day, everybody lived by a river, and they'd plant their crops, and if it didn't rain, they'd get water from the river, and they'd water their crops, and they'd water all the animals, and they'd get down there and scrub the clothes and take a bath. And you've heard this story I'm about to tell. You've heard this before. One day, it kept getting lower and lower. One day, the river quit running. There's nothing left but a dry riverbed. So somebody gets on his horse, and he decides, I'm going to ride upstream and find out what happened to the river. The river used to run. And then he gets up to this place where he looks ahead, and there's this big wall. And so he keeps riding, and he finds out somebody has dammed up the river. And this was a common story. Some big rancher has such a big workforce and cattle and a big spread of land, he decides, I need all the water. So he dams it up, and he's going to keep it all for himself. And then that's where the fight starts. And people went to war, and people killed each other over the water. There's always wars going on in the world. There's always something people are fighting about. And there's always a prize involved. They're not just fighting because they wake up and say, hey man, I'm bored. What do you want us to do today? I don't know, let's go fight the neighbors over here. There's something somebody else has, and I want it, or I think I need it, whatever. And so they fight, and they kill, and that's what wars are about. Now, the preacher is bigger on asking questions. I'll ask a lot of questions to the children, but I just don't feel comfortable. You guys would ask questions. The kids ask hard enough questions as it is. So I'm not going to ask you too many things. Okay, I got one question. There is a spiritual war that goes on. You and I don't see it, lest the Lord says we need to see it. Then He shows us. But we don't just see angels and demons on an everyday basis. But there is a fight. There is a prize. What is the prize? You said bride. What did you say? Us. Yes. People. And I know we are the Christians. We are the bride. The enemy fights against us. Overall, in general, the prize is this. Us. God made us for Himself. The devil deceived our first parents. Laughed because we were condemned to hell. Didn't know God had a plan. God played His ace card and fooled the devil when He used the devil as a part of it. He never would have stirred up evil men to take Jesus to the cross if He'd have known that was part of the plan for our salvation. But you and I are the prize. There's nothing else at stake. He tried to sucker punch God, and that didn't work. He thought he would overthrow God. He never even scored the first point. He and all those who were deceived into thinking he knew what he was doing all got kicked out of heaven. Now, just for the record, there are more for us than there are against us. We only have 1/3 that trusted the devil. two-thirds are faithful to God, and they fight for you and me. He shed His blood to save us. The enemy, you've read enough about angels in the Bible. Even the smallest angel could destroy us all. I'm always amazed at the angels. As great, as mighty as they are, I am quite certain they look at you and me and they say, what a bunch of wimps. They are runts. But they are quite pleased to serve God by fighting on our behalf. God is dead serious about saving and keeping you and me. The devil is dead serious about seeing every one of us condemned. Both sides are playing for keeps. There's nobody in this spiritual warfare that's funning about it. They are serious. I want you to take something away, some simple things, and I've got a song I want to end with, but I want to give you this to take. I know people have said this before. The first Christians were absolutely certain Jesus is coming back next week. Okay, week after next at the very latest. They lived and died and He didn't come back. I've studied church history enough. John Wesley, I love John Wesley. He was certain he would see the return of Jesus. I don't think I'll die. I feel quite certain I'm going to see Jesus come back. I don't mean my grandchildren or great-grandchildren. I think His return is imminent. If He comes before we leave here tonight, I'm not going to be shocked. It's when our first parents fell in the garden. How am I doing on time, sweetheart? Okay, I'm fixing to close it in. In the garden, He said, the seed of the woman is coming, and He's going to crush your head, told the serpent that, told the devil that. Everything from that point up till Jesus was pointing at one thing, the coming of Jesus. When Jesus was here, He said about Himself, He said, my being here marks the beginning of the end. This is the end times. Now everything is pointing toward one thing, and that's my return. And so I genuinely think the last few grains of sand are falling out of the hourglass. I think you and I live at the very end of the end times. And I think in this spiritual war, all the stops are pulled out. And I think it's full on till that day when we see Him come back. And this is no time to deny the power of our enemy or to be afraid of him either, because there are more who are for us than there are who are against us. They are God's messengers sent to help you and me, and they fight and they are pleased to fight for us. Now, I've got a song. Now, I'm going to bow and have a word of prayer, and then we'll play this song, and when we play the song and it's over, that's the cue to get up and go home. Father, thank You for letting us be here today. Thank You for the opportunity to fellowship with one another. And we get pretty beat up all week, and we need to be salt and light among lost folks, but we also need to come back together to encourage and to strengthen one another. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that lives in us. Thank You for the time that we get to sing together praises to Your great and glorious name. I pray that you would dismiss us and keep us safe and make us to be remembering and be thankful for the allies who fight on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.